College English Test Band 4, Model Test 8. Part 3, Listening Comprehension. Section A.
Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
11.
What a shame about your accident! What a way to end your holiday!
Yes, it was bad luck. I suppose I should have been more careful.
Question: what are they talking about? Twelve.
The light in this dining hall is too bright, don't you think?
I think it's perfect for a football stadium.
Question: what does the woman mean? 13.
How long does it take to get to London?
It's an hour by train and about 2 hours by car.
Question: how many hours does it take to get to London?
14.
Were you in London 2 years ago, Mr. Jacobs?
No, I was in Canada. I'm an Australian, but I went to Canada 3 years ago.
Question: what nationality is Mr. Jacobs? 15.
Excuse me, please. Where's the school?
Which one? The infant school is over there. The boys' school is on the right. The girls' school is straight ahead on this street.
Question: where is the boys' school?
16.
I much prefer Mrs. Peterson's lessons. I've got pages of notes from her lessons. I've got nothing from Crown.
Perhaps you don't need to take notes in Crown's lessons. It's easy to remember what he tells you.
Question: whose lessons does the man like more?
17.
Mrs. Wilkins, I'd like you to meet Denise. She's at school with me.
Hello, Denise. Pleased to meet you. Question: what's the relationship between Denise and the man? 18.
Where were you last night?
I was in all evening. The phone rang while I was washing my hair. I couldn't answer it. I'm sorry.
Question: why didn't the woman answer the telephone?
19. Now you'll hear 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
Is this table on the corner okay?
Sure, we can sit here.
Oh, you paused to get anything on your tray?
Yeah, I guess I'm just not that hungry.
What's the matter? Aren't you feeling well?
Well, I've been really worried. It's my car. It's in the shop again.
Really? What's wrong this time?
I don't know exactly. Something's wrong with the brakes, I think.
Well, at least that shouldn't cost you much to fix. Parts are cheaper for all the American cars like yours. Did the mechanic say how much it would cost?
He said he'd call me with an estimate later on today.
Watch out, he doesn't try to take advantage of you.
What do you mean?
Well, some car mechanics, if they think that someone doesn't know much about cars, they might try to overcharge that person.
Maybe so. But I trust this guy. He was recommended by one of my neighbors. He has done some work for me in the past, and his prices seem to be reasonable.
Oh, that's good to know. Maybe I'll try using him in the future. By the way, do you need a ride home after class today?
Oh, I'll sure appreciate it. It's really tough getting around without a car when you live off campus.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
19. What does the woman imply about her car?
20. What does the man say about the woman's car?
What does the woman say about the mechanic?
22. What does the man offer to do?
2.
Dr. Cole, thank you for agreeing to this interview for the Daily Campus News. Can you tell us about what you and your colleagues discuss at the annual Astronomy Society meeting last month?
Yes. For the first time ever, the scientific community has established the existence of planets outside our own solar system. Of course, we knew that certain distant stars existed, but only recently did we learn that several of them are orbited by their own planets.
Why did it take so long to locate these planets?
Well, you have to understand that they are a billion times dimmer than their parent stars. It would be like trying to see the light of a candle next to a huge explosion. We don't currently have a telescope that can be used to see them.
But if the astronomers didn't see the planets through a telescope, how did they find them?
By a very indirect method. The astronomers measured subtle distortions in the frequency of the light from the parent stars and observed that some of the stars seemed to rock back and forth. They determined that this was caused by gravitational pull from orbiting planets.
There is a powerful new telescope being built in Arizona. Will that help them see these planets?
They should be able to see them, at least in the form of small spots of light. And then, the scientists will be able to break down and analyze this light. By doing this, they hope to learn about the chemical composition of these planets. Oxygen and ozone molecules, for example, would be telltale signs of life on these planets.
I'm looking forward to hearing more when the telescope is in operation, and I'm sure our readers would be interested too.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
23. What is the conversation mainly about?
24. How did the scientists establish the existence of the planets?
25. What does the professor say the scientists might learn about the planets by using the new telescope? 2.
Directions. In this section, you will hear 3 short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Carol is a teenage girl. She thinks she is a bit too fat, or rather too strong, but she doesn't know how she became that way. Nowadays, people become interested in losing weight because being overweight can bring about many diseases. Carol has made up her mind to follow others' example and plans to lose weight as well. Sometimes she feels so unhappy without knowing why. At these times, she often goes out to restaurants, bars, and supermarkets for food. The things she likes to eat include bread, biscuits, and chocolates. Although she feels very full in her stomach, she can't stop eating because of the enjoyment she gets. She is a little worried about her behavior and thinks that she might have an unknown disease or an unhealthy mind. With these questions, Carol went to see a doctor. The doctor doesn't think she has a disease, but suggests that she need self-discipline. People often say, eat less and exercise more, but one needs discipline to follow this advice. Since Carol says she enjoys eating, although she feels very full, the doctor thinks this might be because Carol wants to forget about finishing work or doing a complicated homework assignment. Her feeling of unhappiness could start from something deeper, such as problems with family members or friends. The doctor says that Carol needs to find something that can bring fun to her life. Perhaps she should give up the habit of eating too much and do something else instead, such as talking to someone over the phone, playing a video game, or drinking extra tea. These methods could help Carol change the habit of eating too much and become healthy again.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
26. What does Carol normally do when she feels unhappy?
According to the doctor, which one of the following could be the true reason why Carol eats too much when feeling unhappy?
28. Which of the following suggestions is not made by the doctor?
2. Today, when a man steps onto the moon, or something new and important happens, the world learns about it immediately. What did the newspapers say about that first flight in 1903? Strangely enough, they said hardly anything about it at all. There were only a few reports about it in the papers. These reports said very little. Some of the things they said were not even correct. In 1904, the Wrights built a second machine. They called it Flyer No. 2. They invited some reporters to a field near Dayton to watch them fly. Unfortunately, there was some mechanical trouble with the plane, and it did not fly at all that day. The reporters went away. They were disappointed and did not come back. The Wrights went on with their work. In 1905, they built an even better machine, Flyer No. 3. They were able to stay up in the air for half an hour and more in this machine. They were able to turn and climb in the air. Farmers, travelers on the roads around Dayton, often saw them flying. But when these people told reporters about it, they refused to believe them. The Wrights offered Flyer No. 3 to the United States government. The government was not interested. They seemed to think the Wrights wanted money in order to build an airplane. They did not understand the Wrights had already done this and flown it as well. Experts were still saying that mechanical flight was impossible. At the end of 1905, the two brothers took their plane to pieces. The parts were put into a huge wooden case. It seemed nobody was interested.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
29. What were the Wrights able to do in Flyer No. 3?
30. What did the newspapers say about the first flight in 1903?
31. Which of the following is not mentioned in the passage?
3. Nothing can buy a better night's sleep. Although it sounds silly, it was the first thing that crossed my mind when I awoke. I truly appreciated my happy rest. It was like a gift from heaven. Interesting to think that Bill Gates, or any rich man you can mention, really couldn't have had a more satisfying and grateful night of sleep, the best that money can't buy. That started me thinking of other pleasures that cost nothing or very little and that are often taken for granted, like a drink of cold water on a hot day when you're really thirsty, or a warm, relaxing bath when you're extremely tired or mentally exhausted. Remember your first real kiss? Can you put a price tag on that? Or the companionship of a faithful and loving pet? Or the clean, fresh smell of mountain air? There's an old song, "The best things in life are free." Did you ever eat a meal that not only filled your stomach and satisfied all your tastes, but refreshed your soul? Ever spend a winter's evening in the company of good friends? What could be better than listening to your favorite music or watching a good movie? Or sharing the beauty of a sunset with a loved one? These are quite delightful and delicate pleasures. I hope this doesn't sound too ridiculous in today's rough, loud world. I hope the new generation can appreciate some of these things.
Questions 32 to 35
are based on the passage you have just heard.
32. What can be inferred from this speech?
Which one of the following categories does the writer attach great importance to?
34. What does the speaker think of today's world?
35. Which one of the following could be the most appropriate title of this speech? 3. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage. A new book is sure to be discussed and debated at colleges this fall. The book is called My Freshman Year: What a Professor Learned by Becoming a Student. The writer is Rebecca Nathan. This is not her real name. She is in her 50s. She is a professor of anthropology at a university in the United States. Her name for it is NAU. The professor wanted to know why many of her students did not complete their work or ask for help. She decided to do a research project. She got the approval of the University Ethics Committee. Such groups consider moral and legal issues in studies. In the spring of 2002, she applied to her own university under the name Rebecca Nathan and was admitted. She lived in student housing. She took 5 classes during her first term and 2 in the second semester. She did pretty well, although she got 1C, a mark of average. She also played sports. In My Freshman Year, she does not identify any students by name, but she does discuss what they told her about their lives. Rebecca Nathan writes that students do not have enough time to be interested in their classes. They are busy with activities and jobs. They try to learn only as much as they have to, but she says they will read the material if it is directly linked to what is being discussed in class. The professor says her year as a student changed the way she teaches. She gives less reading now. She asks questions designed to get students to speak more. She offers help. And she says she is no longer offended if a student falls asleep.
Now the passage will be read again.
A new book is sure to be discussed and debated at colleges this fall. The book is called My Freshman Year: What a Professor Learned by Becoming a Student. The writer is Rebecca Nathan. This is not her real name. She is in her 50s. She is a professor of anthropology at a university in the United States. Her name for it is NAU. The professor wanted to know why many of her students did not complete their work or ask for help. She decided to do a research project. She got the approval of the University Ethics Committee. Such groups consider moral and legal issues in studies. In the spring of 2002, she applied to her own university under the name Rebecca Nathan and was admitted. She lived in student housing. She took 5 classes during her first term and 2 in the second semester. She did pretty well, although she got 1C, a mark of average. She also played sports. In My Freshman Year, she does not identify any students by name, but she does discuss what they told her about their lives. Rebecca Nathan writes that students do not have enough time to be interested in their classes. They are busy with activities and jobs. They try to learn only as much as they have to. But she says they will read the material if it is directly linked to what is being discussed in class. The professor says her year as a student changed the way she teaches. She gives less reading now. She asks questions designed to get students to speak more. She offers help. And she says she is no longer offended if a student falls asleep.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
A new book is sure to be discussed and debated at colleges this fall. The book is called My Freshman Year: What a Professor Learned by Becoming a Student. The writer is Rebecca Nathan. This is not her real name. She is in her 50s. She is a professor of anthropology at a university in the United States. Her name for it is NAU. The professor wanted to know why many of her students did not complete their work or ask for help. She decided to do a research project. She got the approval of the University Ethics Committee. Such groups consider moral and legal issues in studies. In the spring of 2002, she applied to her own university under the name Rebecca Nathan and was admitted. She lived in student housing. She took 5 classes during her first term and 2 in the second semester. She did pretty well, although she got 1C, a mark of average. She also played sports. In My Freshman Year, she does not identify any students by name, but she does discuss what they told her about their lives. Rebecca Nathan writes that students do not have enough time to be interested in their classes. They are busy with activities and jobs. They try to learn only as much as they have to, but she says they will read the material if it is directly linked to what is being discussed in class. The professor says her year as a student changed the way she teaches. She gives less reading now. She asks questions designed to get students to speak more. She offers help. And she says she is no longer offended if a student falls asleep.
This is the end of Listening Comprehension.